Mike, yesterday we had our buddy Joel Corey on. We were both saying, hey, is there any way that Kirk Cousins can come back? I want you to hear what Joel Corey said, capologist, former agent, in regards to the modification of Cousins' contract.
He's gone. The reason you make this maneuver is for a post-June 1 designation. The Saints did the exact same thing 2 years ago with Michael Thomas. Last year, the 49ers did it with Javon Hargrave. Because he's got the salary guarantee of $10 million, you weren't going to be able to cut him before the league year started and take all the acceleration sooner rather than later, because the guarantee would move into the 2025 league year. This transaction actually took place before the final regular season game, because under the CBA, in order to use a post-June 1 designation, you can't make any modifications to a contract after the last regular season game. So this was done before the Falcons played the Saints.
Joel Corey talking about Kirk Cousins.
Right, and we went round and round because we had a lot of folks out there going, no, we're done. He's out the door. And we had other folks feeling that, you know, there was still some wiggle room to get Cousins back. If you couldn't, as I said yesterday, Carl, find traction, right, in free agency and bringing somebody else in. And we wanted to hear it from a guy who's done it, and he's pretty definitive. He feels that's it. The groundwork has been laid. The Cousins is off the books with the minimal cap hit.
He also talked about why Cousins would not want to return to the Falcons next season. Listen to this.
No, here's one of the reasons he did it. You squatted on his rights last year when he wanted out.
Right.
So you're not able to do it now by the way they've structured it, because he's going to have that massive guarantee hit the books on the for 2027, hit the books on the third day of the 2026 league year. That ensures he's gone. Your benefit is, you get $32.9 million of immediate cap relief. If you'd done nothing with his contract and you were still going to use a post-June 1 designation on him, you would have been carrying what was a $35 million base salary on the books until June 2nd. That would have been removed at that point. The $10 million roster bonus is never being removed because that's fully guaranteed. That already stays there. So it wasn't going to affect your dead money ultimately, for post-June 1 designation, whether done without this maneuver or not. It's still going to be 22.5 in 26 and then 12.5 in 27. But you get the immediate cap flexibility now because you got a little over $300 million in cap commitments for 2026. And you've got, I think, like 38 players under contract. The top 51 count against the cap. And the cap is going to be probably between $300 and $305 million for the 2026 league year.
Obviously, Joel Corey referring to the cap number going up, which will give teams more flexibility. So whatever you think we have to spend now, it probably will be more. And we don't know, Mike, who else they're going to let go. But as far as the Cousins situation, that is why he said, and I hope you follow that, why Kirk would not probably want to return to the Falcons next season.
And for the bean counter folks out there, there's lots of you guys out there, the current SpoTrack or SpotTrack rankings has us at 16.
Okay.
In cap? In cap space after the Matt Ryan move.
Middle of the road.
I'm sorry, it's the Kirk Cousins move.
Okay, okay.
Yep, so right now, middle of the road. Right now, it would be $37 million in cap space. Now, in case you're wondering, you said who's an attractive job? Having cap space and millions and millions and being the number one team cap space has never really been, let's be honest, a corollary with making the playoffs next year. Remember the year the Eagles had that free agent team they put together?
You're right.
Back in the day, Tennessee's got more money than anybody, $113 million. The Vegas Raiders got $110 million. But where it is interesting, the Chargers have got a great quarterback. They got some weapons. And all of a sudden, Harbaugh maybe gets to cook. They're the third most cap space right now is the L.A. Chargers.
Mm.
Everybody else is kind of like the Jets, no man's land. The Rams, hey, how about Snyder? Snead, Les Snead, positioned himself pretty well. The Rams have got a lot of cap space.
And they're good.
Again, they're ready to go to augment whatever they're going to do.
Yeah, and they're already really good. One other thing Mike asked Joel Corey, our capologist, about tagging Kyle Pitts. Listen to what he said.
Yeah, I'd be a little leery of someone who doesn't do anything since his rookie year and then all of a sudden plays great in a contract year. I don't know if the new regime is going to want him. That's the question. We don't know who's the new head coach, who's the GM, what do they think. The tag is going to be a little over $15 million, depending upon where the cap comes in. He's got David Mulligetta as an agent, who also represents Micah Parsons and a whole bunch of safeties in the NFL. I suspect he's looking north of T.J. Hockenson, who is the third highest paid tight end at $16.5 million per year. But I would be a little leery of Pitts just because he disappeared for 3 years.
Mm. You agree?
Well, this is, you know, again, we always, our buddy Johnny used to say, the view from 30,000 feet. There it is. There's a guy saying, look, he was good, then he kind of disappeared. Now, we know why. There was an injury that almost took a second full year to get over. And then there's just the drops, and then there's the want to. There's the times where, you know, we hear it from some of the analysts that watch. And, you know, I think Greg Olson's a pretty good qualified guy to speak about tight ends, not running crisp routes, not doing the blocking. Dave Archer talked about that the other day in the run game. So he's intriguing. He's tantalizing because of what you saw at the end of the season. What you saw is, well, if you just watch tape him against Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you'd say he's Kellen friggin' Winslow.
Yeah, you right?
Right, right.
Back up to Brick's truck.
I'm real hesitant as well. I've been hesitant. You know, early in the year when he wasn't doing anything, I said I can't pay him, right? And then he came on.
Right.
Mike. Well, but let me say this. You said to me, you couldn't look at these last four games for Ra and define his tenure. Can you look at these last five games for Kyle Pitts and define his tenure?
No, it's the same boat. It's the same. No, look, he made, as far as like the eye test, he made some tougher catches when Kirk Cousins was out there.
Challenging, yeah.
And you know, I've talked about, I asked Zach about it, about does he tune out when he's not involved? And Zach, of course, wouldn't give a straight answer to that. You know, I asked Zach how disappointed you were about the drop in Berlin. That's the thing. That's what we talk about, accountability. I know you don't want to bruise ego. Sometimes I like to say, yeah, He blew it. You know, have somebody just say, I dialed up a hell of a play. We didn't execute, you know, which is, you know, I mean, like, I get it. You're not going to get that kind of brusque response, but sometimes you just like to hear people tell it like it is.
Sometimes.
As opposed to, we're going to look at the tape when the special teams fails and fails and fails after all week in, week out.
Yep. So there it is. That's where we sit with the Cousins situation. If things change, they do. But the Falcons have set themselves up, Mike. I think they put themselves in a really good spot. They didn't wait. You heard Joe Corey say there was a window they needed to do this, and they did it. That was the reasoning behind this. But it helps out both parties as far as Kirk wanting to, if he wants to move on and he, you know, doesn't see himself here, whatever. But the money, just from the money aspect of things, Joe Coy saying this is why they did this, and this is why they're ready to move on.